All right, we are going to be today in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Let's read the passage together, and then we're going to study it. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to this place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Now, when you read this passage of Scripture, I'm sure immediately your mind questions verse 10 that said, see, this is new, or verse 9 which says at the end, there's no new thing under the sun. When you read the context and you consider that Solomon is writing about things under the sun, then you realize that he is talking about some things that God has put in place that don't change. We'll actually discuss some new things before we end this lesson today. But what we want to do is we want to understand the context and we want to understand the tenor of what's going on here. Solomon has observed some things in life. Solomon has observed some things in nature. He's observed some things around him, and he's seen some by experience, and he's seen some by history. He says, you know something? It's just the same thing over and over again. And the point has to do with what's going on down here and what we can learn by making the observations that Solomon did. First of all, he says in Ecclesiastes 1:4 a little bit about the lessons he learned from life. Lessons from life. He says, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Well, life is always followed by death. It's always followed by death. He said here, one generation passeth away. Passeth away is the expression we use today. We say, he passed away when somebody dies. People talk about the old English, but there are many, many things that are contained in your King James Bible that are current language today. That's one of them. He passed away. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. My great-great-grandfather, James Francis Welder, founded J.F. Welder Heirs in 1877. So that's a while ago, right? Like 146 years ago or something like that. I knew his wife, my great-great-grandmother, Katie Owen Bell Welder. She was born in the Civil War. So you're looking at somebody who had rubbed shoulders with somebody who was born in the Civil War. That's a while back. That generation finally passed away in my childhood. Their children passed away in my youth and young adult years. Matter of fact, I didn't even know my grandfather. Their children, my parents' generation, passed away in my adult years. My mother, who was the last of that generation, died last May, 2022. And now my generation is going to start passing away. Some are gone now. Because the youngest in our generation is already in his mid-50s. You know what that is? That's just, they come, right? And they go. All that generation before, and before them, and before them, they're gone. They were here, and now they're gone. But he says here, but the earth abideth forever. Well, that's true when you compare generations coming and going. Right? The earth goes through seasons, but it doesn't pass away. We know, obviously from the New Testament, that the earth is actually going to pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We know that. But when it does, it's going to be replaced with a new heavens and a new earth. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about all these elements melting with a fervent heat, and then God fashions them into new heavens and a new earth. Well, you know, that new heavens and new earth, they're not under this sun. Do you understand? As long as there is this sun, then everything under this sun continues as it always has. That's what Solomon's observing. So this earth will be here as long as there is this sun. When that sun and this earth go, all of that goes, and then he gives a new heavens and a new earth. So Solomon is not making a doctrinal statement about the eternity of the earth. He's making a statement when he says the earth abideth forever, that it doesn't go through the same life and death that generations go through. Okay? It's still here, so cattle are still running on the same land that were part of that partnership that was started in 1877, but the people who were here aren't here anymore. Got it? So that's a lesson that he learned from life. Then he also learned some lessons from nature. Notice in verses 5 through 7, the sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. And the wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually. The wind returneth again to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. So Solomon not only observed the life and death of generations, but he also observed nature, the sun, wind, and rivers, or water. And so when you're here under the sun and you notice the circuit of the sun, you notice that it rises and it sets. Now people said, is that geocentric or is that heliocentric? It doesn't make any difference. The idea is we've always called it what we still call it today, sunrise and sunset. All right. And the point that Solomon is making is it goes through a circuit that continues just like it always has. It never changes. There's so much regularity to the sunrise and the sunset. If nothing under the sun changes at all, you can tell what the sunrise and sunset will be 100 years from now, or what it was 1,000 years ago, because it just goes in that regularity. So that's the sun. And then he talks about the wind, and the wind goes about in its circuits. Right? Well, if you look at wind patterns, what you have going around the earth all the time is wind moving from west to east. And what it does is that it dips south and it rises north as it makes those circuits. This is exactly what he said here. The wind goeth toward the south, turneth about unto the north. And the reason it does that is that it's following the boundaries between warm air and cold air. And wherever that is, that's where that wind is. And so you'll watch, if you watch the weather, and if they ever show you a map and they show you the jet stream, you see it coming out of the north, dipping toward the south, rising back up toward the north again. Just like Solomon said, and he wasn't a meteorologist, and he didn't have the benefit of a weatherman's picture. So that pattern that he noticed there never changes. It just keeps on. It just every day. It's just doing the same thing over and over again. Obviously, there are storms and things that brew up, but he's not talking about those things. What he's talking about is the regularity of life, from birth to death, generation to generation, sun rising and setting, wind blowing and following its circuits. And then he mentions the rivers running into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. And that's interesting. All the rivers run that way. And yet the sea level doesn't change from those waters like that. What he noticed is there is a circuit of that water, and that circuit of water involves evaporation. So there's heat on the water, and the water evaporates, and when it does, it forms clouds, and the clouds go over by the mountains where it cools off, and rain falls out, or snows falls out, or hail falls out, or something falls out, and it gets collected back into the rivers and streams and refills aquifers and goes back out into the sea, and it just keeps doing it. It's been doing that. It's been doing that. It continues to do that. It never changes. That process, life to death, sunrise to sunset, you know, wind circuits, rain and rivers and the sea levels, all following this repetitive pattern. They never changed. And Solomon's God-given observations indicate these natural things under the sun are not going to change. Now, he wrote this a long time ago. Let's just say, round numbers, around 3,000 years ago. Here we are today, and we're still talking about the same processes and still referring to them the same way. Okay? So he learned that. He learned lessons from life, and he learned lessons from nature, and he also learned lessons from experience in verses 8 and 9. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. So the natural things discussed above are always working. There's always this process of evaporation, rain, water coming down. There's always this process of the sun going round and round, or whatever's going on with all that. And there's always this process of wind going around and around and doing all that. It's always laboring, right? And so the same is true. He said all things are full of labor. The same is true for us. Men bring forth, and I'm talking about human beings, men bring forth the fruit of the earth by what? Labor. Labor. This is farming season, and if you've been observing as you're going around, there are men in planes spraying crops. There are men in tractors that are cultivating and spraying and doing all things. Soon there'll be some men in combines harvesting, and labor, labor, labor. And once all that's done, then it's got to be plowed and it's got to be prepared, and there's herbicide and there's insecticide and there's all kind of, and just go on and on and on. And you know what? We all die and the next generation comes. If Jesus hadn't come, they're going to be doing that. They may be using a little bit different process, but it's going to be the same thing. You got to dig in the soil, plant the seed, and you got to take care of it till you harvest it. And then you bring it to the table, you know, unless you're just a total raw vegetarian. Even if you are, you're going to wash it. You're still going to labor over it. And then you got to chew it. You know, some of us cook it. All right. Then you got to digest it. And then you got to dispose of it. There's always something going on. So all that is labor. Women bring forth the fruit of the body by, what's the word? Labor. Labor. All things are full of labor. The earth is not at rest, and the earth never will be under this sun. So now the point he's making about this process of going round and round again and again, working and working, leads to what he says in verse 8, and that is, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Proverbs 27 says, Solomon wrote, and he said this in verse 20, hell and destruction are never full, and so the eyes of men are never satisfied. You never get to the place where you say, I've seen enough. There's always, you're going to flip the TV back on sometime and to see if there's something else new in the news. And it's going to be the same kind of stuff, by the way. Television, Broadway and Hollywood know this truth of the eye is not satisfied with seeing and the ear filled with hearing. They know this truth and they keep producing things. Do you know that the underlying plots of those things never change? Have any of you men ever been drugged into the living room with your wife to watch a Hallmark movie? Yeah. The plot is identical in every single one of them. And yet, oh, it's a new one. I got to watch it. Really? Yeah, they're always churning out productions for people to see. If someone comes to you to give you an earful, rest assured they can't do it. Because whatever you heard from then that your ear got full with, tomorrow you'll be ready to hear something else. That's the Athenian philosophy. When Paul was in Athens waiting on his companions to arrive, he was moved in his spirit because he saw that they were worshiping their unknown God. And he said, the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, the ear with hearing. And this is going to go on forever under the sun. It just keeps going. It's the same thing over and over and over again. He says, the thing that in verse 9 that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. All right, so I'm going to talk to you about lessons from inventions in just a minute about some new things under the sun. But in this section, Solomon is simply stating that based on the observations of nature, based on his life experiences, things going on now have happened before, and the things that happened before are going to happen again. It just keeps going. The cycles of the cosmos, the cycles of the atmosphere, the cycles of nature, the cycles of life, the cycles of death, they are repetitive. What you see now has already been. And this, what you see now, is not new. And you're going to see the reason that he's making this point, but people chase the new thing. And when you get there, what he's trying to tell you is you're not going to be satisfied with what you see or with what you hear because you're going to learn, like he did, it's not really new. It's not really new. He goes on then, after these observations, to tell us his lessons from history. His lessons from history. Look at verses 9 through 11. We've already read 9, but it overlaps both his observations of nature and his observations of his life experiences. He says this in verse 9 again, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said? See, this is new. It hath been already of old time which was before us. There's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. And I call this the lessons from history. Okay? The lessons from life, the lessons from nature, the lessons from experience, the lessons from history. It's already been. You know what we say today about history? 3 words. History repeats itself. You know why we say that? Because from the time that Solomon wrote this till now, we find out that just as there's sunset and sunrise, there's the same thing going on in history now that happened in the history before, and the thing that happened in the history before is the thing that's going to happen in the history for those in the future generation. But you know what George Hegel said? George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel. Sound like a big name. You know what he said, you just don't know it. You don't know it by that man's name. But when I tell you what he said, you're going to say, oh yeah, I knew that. The only thing, if we learn from history that man can never learn anything from history. That's what he said. Remember that? We learn from history that man can never learn anything from history. He keeps repeating it. Just like those other things. We repeat the same thing over and over again. I'll give you some examples. Countries make peace treaties. For what? peace. If we ever had world peace, now that would be a new thing. And you know what they'll say in this generation? They'll say, we need to do this, that, and the other thing. We need to do these economic things. We need to do these policy things. We need to do these military things. And then we'll have world peace. It never happened. And it never will happen. And he's saying to you, if it didn't happen in the past, it's not going to happen in the future because the same things keep happening again. World peace would be a new thing, but... You know, if you go, you know, they say, pray for world peace. Why waste your time? It's impossible. That'll never happen. I mean, now it will when Jesus comes, but we're talking about somebody that's not under the sun coming in, right? And injecting something in here that is new. But you know what? I'll tell you something else would be new. Life without dying would be new. And a lot of people, when faced with a life and death decision, will choose life. As if, for a moment, I'm going to really be able to extend it beyond something. But it never happens. Everybody eventually dies. All right. Look back in Genesis chapter 11. I'll give you another good example. Genesis chapter 11. So Paul, Solomon makes this great case. He lays down the observations of life and nature and experience, and then he says, okay, now let's talk about history so that we get a real good idea of what we can expect in the future. All right, Genesis chapter 11. This is after the flood. Now populations from Shem, Ham, and Japheth are moving into their various geographical locations around the globe. Verse 1, the whole earth was of one language, of one speech, very much like it is today. We have a port ministry, and our guys that go out there every week, right? Milton and Lynn get on those boats, and those guys are from all over the world. They're from India, they're from China, they're from Russia and Ukraine and Georgia and Belarus, and they're from Philippines and... Just keep naming countries, okay? And these guys can get on board those boats and talk to them about Jesus Christ because they all speak English to some degree, all right? One language, one speech. What'd they do? They made a tower. Look at verse 4. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, when they were doing that, notice in chapter 10, that there was a main character among them. All right, Genesis chapter 10, because they're building this tower in a place called Shinar. All right, that's in Genesis 11, too. Let's go find out who the main character was in Shinar. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8, Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his, what's the next word? Kingdom was where? Babel. We call that the Tower of Babel. Today we have a place called Babylon. That's that same thing. It's in Shinar. Kingdom was Babylon. All right, so you've got today, okay, back then men got together, tried to build a tower to heaven. Right? Today we are launching rockets from towers to try to get to heaven. They're doing the same thing today. There's nothing new. Nimrod was the mighty hunter, the mighty man in the earth in his kingdom of Babylon back then. And you know who's going to be the mighty hunter, the mighty man in the coming future in his kingdom of Babylon? Revelation chapter 17, the Antichrist. In all of these generations, in all of this history, in all of this passage of time, nothing has changed. It's the same thing. And it's going to, so if you see it back there, you could say, you know what's coming? a Babylonian kingdom with a man over it who's going to be a hunter, and I know who his prey is going to be from reading the Bible. Israel. Because it's always been that way. It was when Nebuchadnezzar attacked. It was when Sennacherib attacked. It was when Darius attacked with the Medes and Persians. It was when Rome attacked. It will be when he attacks. It doesn't change. It's the same thing. You say, I wonder what's going to happen to Israel. I wonder if there'll be peace in the Middle East. It won't. Not till Jesus comes. From outside under the sun. Otherwise, you just replay it again and again and again. As Cain killed Abel in Genesis 4, so the Antichrist will be killing the righteous in the tribulation. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. The souls of those that were righteous will be under the altar, crying out to the Lord, how long before you avenge our blood on the earth? Revelation chapter 20 tells us they were beheaded. Look in Luke chapter 17. See, Solomon gives us a lesson from these things, and then he gives us an application. And what he's trying to tell you is when you watch the news and they say, the United Nations is going to meet and they're going to have some sort of a deal to try to get sort of a nuclear arms race under control so we can have peace. Turn the TV off. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. The ear is not satisfied with hearing. It's the same thing over again, and I can tell you the outcome. And I'm not prophetic. It's just it happens in the cycles of life under the sun. All right, look at Luke chapter 17. You know what's important to people today? Well, here's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. Luke 17, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah. Wait a minute, man, that was a long time ago. Noah was 2348 BC. We're 2023 AD. We're talking more than 4,000 and a quarter millennia ago. Here's what they were doing in Noah's day. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until he entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And you know what Jesus said? They're going to be doing the same thing when I come. Nearly 4,500 years later. All right, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank. That's where y'all are all going in about an hour and a half if we finish up at noon. They bought, they sold. That's what you're going to do after you eat and drink. You run by Academy or Home Depot or Walmart or whatever. They planted and they built it. They're doing that out there. The crops are all growing right now. And there's houses springing up all around this church in these neighborhoods here. The same day that Lot went in out of Sodom and it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Nothing changes. It's always the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. And that was the point that Solomon was making, and that's the point we need to get. Oh, I hope if we do this, that, and the other thing, we can really solve the problem. And you can't. It never will. And, so you say, well, Solomon sure was a pessimist. He was. He was. But he was also realistic in his assessment of things. So he makes this statement in verse 9, there's no new thing under the sun. And in verse 10, he said, is there anything whereof it may be said? See, this is new. You know what? You live in a time in history where everything around you every day is new. New toothpaste, new deodorant, new better tennis shoe, new better tennis racket, new better gun, new better electronic device, new better computer, new better car, new. Okay? And so you say, well, so Solomon obviously was wrong. You see, he did not make a doctrinal statement about this thing called inventions. He made a doctrinal statement about things in the cycles of life. So we need to at least comment while we're talking on this subject from Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10 about lessons from inventions. The advancements in new things under the sun are advancements in inventions. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. These are things to make what we do down here in the cycle of life better. Teeth cleaner, clothes whiter, cars cleaner, faster, more energy efficient. This just all this is inventions and then new things on the inventions to make the inventions better. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. You know the interesting thing about all the inventions we have today? The more and more that we go along with our inventions, the further and further we get away from God. Have you noticed that? They have sought out many inventions. Proverbs chapter 8, Solomon had another comment on this. Inventions are just taking the things under the sun and repackaging them in a way that you can use them in a different way, but the outcome is still going to be the same. The sun is still going to rise at the same time tomorrow. You can go to daylight savings time. That did not change the circuit of the sun one bit. Okay? Messed you up for a week, but it didn't affect the sun. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Witty inventions. These are not things that God put here under the sun. These are things that men invented and then improved them. Things like guns and technology and buildings and medicine and computers and space exploration and cars and planes and all that other kind of stuff. Those are inventions of men. Those are the new things down here. And every day when you turn on the TV, they say, see, this is new. Right? But it's really not. Because with our advancements, we still kill each other. Just like Cain killed Abel. They say, oh, this gun is an excellent thing. Look at this. You can use it to hunt that. But you can also use it for bad things. We made all these changes and inventions. And you know what? Today, they still kill babies just like they did under Pharaoh and Herod, except now the mothers get to do it. They kill people with automobiles and drugs and weapons, and they fight wars among the nations. And that never changes. Birth and death are still here just like they always have been and just like they always will be. It's just that when you die, your teeth will be a little bit cleaner than they were before you had new and improved toothpaste. That's it. You know, medicine has had many advancements. And I have, and many of you have, personally benefited from the advancements in medicine. So I don't have any complaint about that. But I also don't have any misconception about it. I'm still going to die. If you go into a treatment for an illness with the idea that not only will you prolong your life, but you're going to just keep on living, you've gone in with the wrong idea. Because it's only going to go so long. The Lord said to Noah, my spirit shall not always strive with man. His days are going to be 120 years, and I don't care what's happened with medicine, that 120 years is fixed. People don't live beyond that. I think once in a while you'll see a 121 or 123, but the most part, you do everything you want to do, and you say, life expectancy has increased by 10 years from 20 years or 30 or 50 years ago. Yeah, but you still die. It's the same cycle. Medicine has made our lives more comfortable, more functional, more tolerable. But you know something, if you talk to doctors, and we have one here, and folks that are in medicine, and we have some of those folks here, pharmaceuticals and things, the goal never was for you to live forever. They've never had that in mind because they know just like you and I do, you can't beat death under the sun. You can't. You're born and you die. Nothing has changed. You know, it's interesting that Solomon observed nothing new going on with three elements, sun, wind, and water. You know the interesting thing about those three? Those are the sources of green energy today. Did you notice that? Yeah. And what's happened is these sources of energy are simply harnessed and converted by inventions in the imaginations of men. When the Lord saw the Tower of Babel, he said, now nothing shall be restrained from him of all that he imagined to do. Somebody said, hey, you know what? We can take that wind, run it through a turbine, and make electricity and power things like the lights above your head. So, but all they're doing is just taking that energy that's in the wind or the sun or in the water and converting it into another form of energy so you can use it in a different way. May I tell you something? None of the green energy works if the wind quits blowing, the water quits flowing, and the sun quits rising. It still depends upon this. And it's built upon and based upon the idea that it's going to keep going like it always has gone. Do you know in the tribulation the wind's going to stop? Do you know in the tribulation the rain is going to stop? Do you know in the tribulation a third of the sun is going to be darkened and then it's all going to go dark? And you know what's going to happen to all that green energy? Wah, wah, wah. But we understand. So inventions just take what God already put there under the sun and then just utilize it in a different way. Take transportation. How do you get from here to the door? You walk. All right. And then you decide, okay, I want a horse. All right. Well, the horse has to take the caloric energy of grass and grain to be able to transport you. So you're only going to get to ride him so far before you have to refill his tank. That sounds like a car or a train or a bus or a car, or a plane. It still needs to eat again to have the energy to go again. A sailboat gets in the water, raises up a sail, simply using the wind to move it. Today we have windmills, we have hydroelectric energy, and those are just like grist mills, and they're turning turbines and water wheels, and eventually you either have to draw the water out of the ground or you got to get it out of a stream. Pivot irrigation simply goes in the ground and gets what was put there by a aquifer that was recharged by this circulation of water so that you put have the water where you want it to put on your crops. But here's the thing that you do. If life ends in death, utilizing energy in this way ends in what scientists call entropy. That is, it runs down. You harness the energy and utilize it until it wastes into heat. All of it. Making electricity, the byproduct is heat. You get it? You know what they've done with solar power? They're simply using the power of the sun to convert it to electricity. They've always used the power of the sun to dry tea leaves, coffee beans, mature crops. You're just taking it and using it a different way. And if you don't use wind or sun or water, you know what you use? Fire. Fire. And they've been burning things as long as there were things to burn. It's just when they found hydrocarbons, which is a whole lot of energy in a real small package, they lit that thing and said, man, if we put that inside of a little contained thing, put some pistons on it, we can make things fly and run and go and... Just an invention made off of something that God has had here from the beginning till now. Natural gas and coal are burned to create steam, to turn a turbine, to get the electricity that you have in this building. And all of that process is a consumption of a product. It results in what is called entropy. That is, death follows life. And waste follows that conversion of energy. And the waste is heat. That's what I'm talking about. You jump in your car and you drive home. Touch the hood of your car. It's hot, right? You know what the big problem is today that everybody's all worried about politically? Climate change. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Climate is going to be a real problem in the tribulation. It's going to get hot. Like really hot. Really hot. You know what climate change advocates are attempting to do? They're simply trying to slow down the decay that they see that's coming. That's the same thing they do in medicine. Just try to slow down the time of your death. That's what you do with good nutrition. You're just trying to forestall, just trying to be a little bit more comfortable until the day that you die and live a little bit longer than you would. That's what health clubs are all about. And hopefully make yourself look good in the process. Just trying to extend life a little longer. There are trillions of dollars spent putting off the inevitable. Elon Musk, I mentioned it before, wants to get to Mars and colonize Mars because he sees Earth's natural resources being expended, and everybody's worried about climate change because of carbon emissions. Wow, how many carbon emissions are there in an explosion like happened in April? You know what? I'll tell you what this all of this amounts to, and this is why. Solomon made the comment so that we would not be deceived by the attempts around us to make these things change that don't change. Here's what I'll say about it. Man kills himself trying to live longer. That's what this is all about. Man kills himself trying to live longer. Like I said, I'm glad that I have a combustion engine with a vehicle that gets me here to this place in 27 minutes if I'm driving and 23 if Ann's driving. But don't be deceived by those advancements in technology. They don't change the normal cycles of life. If you don't receive something new that's not under the sun, then you will go the way of history and life experience and death. The one thing you need is something that gives you eternal life. And that came to you from a place that's not under the sun. It came from the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And once you get that, then you can look at the things that are around you and utilize them with sanity, recognizing. I love it when I'm talking to a Christian, for instance, who is facing a terminal illness and they say, you know something? This particular drug or this particular treatment I'm taking may extend my life for the purpose of bringing glory to God, but the day that He is ready for me to go, I'm out of here because I have a life that lives beyond the cycle of life and death. I will leave the circuits of wind and the circuits of the sun and the circuits of water. I will leave all of that to go to a place where men never die. And life goes on forever. It is not subject to these risings and fallings that are here. That's a tremendous thing. You know, if a person really believed what Solomon said here in Ecclesiastes, he'd say, you know what? There's got to be more to life than this, or what's the use of living? It would cause him to look up beyond this and say, obviously this one thing has to be true. The answer cannot be down here. And when it causes you to look up beyond, then you find the answer. It's in God Almighty. And thank God for His Word that gives us a clear understanding of these things. Amen. Father, we're thankful today to be able to take a lesson from what Solomon had learned and benefit by all that wisdom You gave him. I pray, Father, we'll take these things we've learned to heart and live by them for Jesus' sake. Amen.